Number 20 for the week, and just wanted to encourage you with the verse that says, and I quote, "Those that endure to the end shall be saved." Yeah. Now there's a context to that, but we'll forget about the context. Praise the Lord for a good week. I would like to add my thanks to the other brothers that have stood and thanked. And rather than having a list of things to thank, I very sincerely would just like to say, for every person that has had any part in the blessing of God this week in this place, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. It's been good to be here. I am very thankful for the opportunity to come. My family has thoroughly enjoyed it. As you travel, not every place is the same. Not every kind of reception is the same. Not every week is the same. And so, very sincerely, praise the Lord for a great week. And personally, from our family and from me, thank you for a great week. And ultimately, thank the Lord for abundant blessing. I was praying about how to finish off the week before the Lord. Praying about what the Lord would have me share for my final message. And I settled before the Lord on the subject of God's faithfulness. I want us to go home thinking about the faithfulness of God. I was encouraged last night because my brother Keith and I both were seeking the Lord as to the specific direction of what the Lord would have us to share this morning. And then listening to our brother's final message, and then listening, thinking how the Lord had led me. El Shaddai, the tender, providing, almighty God that would draw you to Himself and meet every one of your needs. Isn't that a lovely picture? The faithfulness of God. There's a blue minivan. I don't encourage you to look, but it's right there. I can see it. And it's sitting there. Because a couple years ago, we had gotten to the place where before the Lord with a clear conscience, I felt very free to pray for a new minivan. It was the first time in full-time work that we had come across, that kind of a need. And so I'm thinking through the whole issue of loans and all the rest of it. You know, what do you do in this circumstance? And so it had been months that we'd been, not every day, but months that we'd been periodically just committing this need to the Lord. We were coming up on a busy spring, summer, where we would travel probably 15,000 miles through the summer across North America. And so I'm just looking at this legitimate need that I thought was a legitimate need and just committing it to the Lord. We did at one point go out and test drive a couple vehicles. We kind of settled on one particular vehicle. We decided that, you know, like anybody, we want to be good stewards. We chose just a nice, basic model, just simple. It would have been a wonderful minivan, but just a real basic model. We picked it all out. We found the right year. We found everything. And then we told the salesman, we want to think about it and pray about it for 24 hours. That's my grandfather's wisdom. Yeah, he said he used to always pound that into my mother. Think about it, pray about it for 24 hours. And so we told that to the salesman. We went home and we sat down, the four of us. And first Rebecca prayed, and then Daniel, and then Lynn, and then me. I love those times as a family. We committed our needs to the Lord and asked the Lord specifically, just this one issue, if He wanted us to buy that minivan. 2 hours later, we got a phone call, and the person on the phone said, hello. I said, hello. He said, is your wife there? I said, yes. He said, can you get her? Okay. I went and got her. He said, can you put me on speakerphone? Yes. Okay, you're on speakerphone. And then that person said this, we want you to know that we love you. But we love the Lord more than we love you. And the Lord, in no uncertain terms, has told us to give you our minivan. And they gave us that minivan that's sitting out there. That minivan is a top-of-the-line minivan. It's fun because I have no question of conscience telling you any of this. This is the character of our God. I would have bought the most basic minivan that I could have bought as a steward. I wouldn't have felt free to do anything other than that. Now, if you do that, if you do something different, praise the Lord. I honestly, the Lord knows my heart. I could care less what level you would choose to buy, but that's what we would have done. And the Lord gave us the minivan. It's a Toyota. That's an XLE. Heated leather seats, sunroof, 6 CD changer, nice sound system, all the rest of it, right? So for the past 2 years, we've cruised around the country in that thing. One of the nicest minivans that we could have purchased had we had the ability to purchase a minivan like that. I love what that says about our God. I love what that says about our God. That we serve an infinitely faithful God when we choose to believe Him. The Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. You choose to believe His promises. You choose to put your faith in His promises, irregardless of the circumstance of your life. These promises apply to every Christian. Is that true? You choose to believe that, put your faith in it, and He is worthy to be followed. He's an infinitely faithful God. It doesn't mean we understand everything that He does. It doesn't mean that we don't suffer. Psalm 84 says there are valleys of weeping. It uses the term baca, B-A-C-A. Translated, it's weeping. There are valleys of weeping in the pilgrim's life. Is that true? Yeah. Times of tremendous suffering in a Christian's life. Times where, if we were to be honest, and if we were God, we would not choose the circumstances that the Lord has sovereignly allowed in our lives. Were we to be honest, we would do it differently if we were God. And yet, through all of that, we can cling to the infinite, eternal faithfulness of the living God. I feel at the end of this week like a full sponge. I feel like I'm overflowing with God's blessing. I hope you feel that way too. As you go home from this place, I really want for you, I prayed for you this morning, that you would go home with that wonderful sense of El Shaddai going with you. The Almighty, tender, sufficient, all-providing God. And specifically this morning, I prayed for every one of you that you would go home with that wonderful comfort that an infinitely faithful God is not just going with you, but is going before you. Praise the Lord for a God like that. Let's go to John chapter 12, if you would. John chapter 12 and verse number 27. We don't find the word faithfulness here, but we find a tremendous example of the faithfulness of the one that we love, the lovely one of the heavens. John chapter 12, verse number 27. The Lord Jesus says this: Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. My soul is troubled. By the grace of God, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, really, either way, sadly enough, either way, none of us will ever enter into in fullness what that little phrase means. The Lord Jesus is looking forward to the cross. He sums up his emotions, his feelings, his thoughts. He sums up his experience at the time, looking forward to the worst suffering that any man will ever endure, with that little phrase, "My soul is troubled." Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not suffer for eternity. Even someone that will suffer for eternity is only suffering for their own sin, not suffering for the sins of billions of eternal souls. The Lord Jesus, even with our little minds, I mean, we can take in part of it. The Lord Jesus hung there on the cross as a shield. What's so special about a shield? Well, it's stronger than that which it protects, right? So when the blows hit the shield, if the blows hit that which the shield protected, it would bring death. But when it hits the shield, there's a strength in the shield that can endure the blows. The Lord Jesus hangs there on the cross as the shield, enduring the wrath of an infinitely holy God for hours. And looking forward to that horrific, unfathomable for you and me suffering, the Lord Jesus says, "My soul is troubled." He sums it up in that way. And then he says, "Well, how am I going to respond to that? What shall I say about it? My soul is troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" Is that what I should say? I'd like to get out of this. I don't like these circumstances. I've come this far, but I don't. I would prefer a different course. Is that what I should say? And then he says this tremendously beautiful phrase. "But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." I can follow a Savior like that. I could give my life for a Savior like that. "I am committed to the glory of God," Jesus Christ says. "I do not want to be taken out of this hour. This is the reason why I came." That's leadership, isn't it? And I mean this with every ounce of reverence that I could possibly muster. Jesus Christ was a man's man. He was the strongest man that has ever walked on the face of the earth. You can follow a Savior like this. "Don't take me out of these circumstances. You use this for the glory of your name," he says. He doesn't use the word faithfulness, but I don't think it's hard for you and I to agree together. This is a beautiful example of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He's not committed to himself. Irregardless of any circumstance, he's committed to the glory of the Father. Boy, that's beautiful. As you go home from this place, you go home with a Savior, and a Savior goes before you back to the troubles, the difficulties, the discouragements, the tears as you cry yourself to sleep at times. A Savior goes before you back into those circumstances. I think that that is wonderfully good news. Faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 1. And verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9 says this. I just want to read three words. God is faithful. Now, I'm not introducing any brand new, deep theological nugget that I discovered in the Word of God. But I wanted every one of us to see that with our own eyes before we left to drive home from this place. If you don't have a conscience against such things, I encourage you to underline that little phrase. Highlight it. I think that's one of the more enjoyable little phrases that we could find in the whole Word of God. God, it doesn't say that God is, he's striving to be faithful in your life. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say God has become faithful. God would like to be faithful. It doesn't say any of those things. It just simply identifies the character of the living God. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. In Kenya, and I'm not suggesting that we have to do this here, but in Kenya, when you say, praise the Lord, the entire audience says, amen. I like that. I find myself enjoying these things so much that I can't help but say, praise the Lord. Haven't yet. Amen. With a God like this, God is faithful. So I have 2 points. I just really want this to be very simple. And I'm praying that the Lord will bless you and encourage your hearts. I have 2 points. First of all, God's faithfulness is described as, and then we're going to look in the Word of God, and I'm not going to make us flip all over the place. Mostly I'm going to read them to you and you'll recognize them. How is God's faithfulness described in the Word of God? And then point number 2 is God's faithfulness displayed as. So how is God's faithfulness talked about in the Word of God? How is God's faithfulness shown in the Word of God? First of all, how is God's faithfulness talked about? How is it described in the Word of God? Lamentations 3:23, great is your faithfulness. Or if you prefer, great is thy faithfulness. Not only a good song, directly drawn from the Word of God. Again, I can't help it. Praise the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of our God is not just a small faithfulness. It is a wonderful, overwhelming, beautiful, comforting, establishing, encouraging faithfulness that will help us keep going in the midst of all of the difficulty of life. Great is thy faithfulness. So that's the first one. It's great. Second one, it's established. It's not under question. His faithfulness is not to be challenged. He's not to be tested. We are not to question His faithfulness. It has been established. Psalm 89:2, just for one example. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Now, we could talk about many different things that would be fun to talk about in the heavens that establish the faithfulness of God. But the first one that pops into my head is the rainbow. The Lord says, I will never again flood the earth with water. Does the Lord have the physical ability to flood the earth with water today? Absolutely. But it's never happened. And it never will. I like it that the Word of God doesn't just say that He chooses not to lie. I like it that He says He cannot lie. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Every time we see a rainbow, we can look at it and say, praise the Lord. Look at that. The testimony of God. Number 3, how is it described? It's incomparable. Incomparable. Nobody's faithfulness is like the faithfulness of my God, of our God. Psalm 89:8. Who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Now, with great joy, I can stand here and tell you, I love my wife. I'm so thankful for my wife. She's a tremendous, wonderful blessing in my life. In the way that you and I use it today, I have not been unfaithful to my wife. By the grace of God, I've already committed and continue to exist in the commitment that I will not be unfaithful to my wife. Now, I agree wholeheartedly with what my brothers say. The sinful flesh is capable of any sin. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And that's why I say, by the grace of God. But that doesn't change the fact that I have committed to be faithful to my wife. Now, let me please say that my faithfulness to my wife is not even close to the Lord's faithfulness to my wife. I told you earlier this week that if I could have one get out of sin free card, what an anniversary present that would be. You never sin against that person, just one person ever again, without any reservation. I would so joyfully give that to my wife. Here you go. I just got one. I'm giving it to you. But we don't have the privilege of things like that. The Lord Jesus, our God, has never one time ever acted selfishly towards my wife in all of eternity past. He never will act selfishly towards my wife. He will always cherish my wife. He will always self-sacrificially love and serve my wife. I love having a God like that. Nobody's faithfulness can be compared to His faithfulness. Who is mighty like You, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds You. Now, I would like to turn to one here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse number 13. Again, a familiar verse. I'm asking the Lord to bless you and put this at the forefront of your mind as we leave this place. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Isn't that wonderful? I know we've been listening to messages all week, but I really genuinely hope that you enjoy this. I don't mean my message. I hope you enjoy the remembrance of an eternally, infinitely enjoyable God. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. How come? He's not faithful according to our standard. He doesn't meet us halfway. He's faithful according to His standard. I remember going into full-time work almost 5 years ago, finding a new kind of dependence on the Lord, a very practical, monetary, monthly type of dependence on the Lord. And I remember the first time that I had to go to the Lord and say, "You know how you think about what I just did? I think about what I just did the same way." I just sinned against You, and I just sinned against that person. Would You please forgive me? And I remember it was within that first month, and I remember thinking to myself, and it was almost like a subconscious thought. I just remember thinking to myself, I wonder if the Lord will pay all my bills except for one just to teach me a lesson. Here He's got me. He's got me. He could so easily teach me that sin is serious. If I just had one bill left over at the end of the month that wasn't paid, and I would know that it was my fault. And I remember when all of the money came in to pay every bill. And this is the verse that I thought of. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. That's the beautiful character of the living God. Not faithful to us according to our standard. Faithful to us according to His standard. Praise the Lord. Psalm 36:5. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. That is a Hebrew way. It's a Hebrew picture of saying that it's infinite. We can't even see above the clouds. Your faithfulness, there's no limit to it. It just keeps going and going and going. Your faithfulness is all the way up there beyond what I can see. It's infinite. One more. The Word of God describes His faithfulness as everlasting. Psalm 119:90, Your faithfulness endures to all generations. And then Psalm 146:6, You who keep truth forever. Now we're just bouncing across the tops of the waves here. But these are just some examples of how the faithfulness of our God is described in the Word of God. So let's transition. Point number two, how is God's faithfulness displayed in the Word of God? First one, Isaiah 25:1, Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The Lord shows us His counsel. He shows us His faithfulness in the accuracy of His counsel. When I was 15 years old, Washburn Rural High School, Topeka, Kansas. I was a born again man. Had the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. There was a huge wrestling match taking place inside of me. I was looking up to people that named the name of Christ, and some of them were really living to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them were living just like the world. There was a part of me that's called a sinful flesh. I didn't even know that's what it was called at the time. And it was making all kinds of suggestions to me that I live like the world too. At one point, I even had the thought in my head, I wonder if I can just go ahead, maintain these closest friendships in my life with these football player friends of mine, unbelievers. Maybe I could just go ahead and do these things that I'm feeling compelled to do by my sinful flesh. I could do the things that they're doing, the things that these people that name the name of Christ are doing. I wonder if I could just go down that path for several years, because I know God is faithful. I know God is loving. I know He's a forgiving God. And then maybe I can just confess it, and I'll turn around at some point, and then I'll come back, and maybe there wouldn't be any consequences. I was looking at their life and their life, and I saw these people suffering somewhat for identifying themselves so closely with the name of Christ. And I saw these people, and I didn't really see consequences in their life. It's a bit hard to figure out as a 15-year-old freshman at Washburn Rural High School. By the grace of God, I decided when I was at Bible camp, by the way, I love how the Lord uses these places. An elder just told me in an email not long ago, he said, I wish there was a way to recreate the spiritual intensity of a camp in the local assembly. Well, amen. I still love the way the Lord uses these places. I was at a camp for the weekend. I was under tremendous conviction, not of the things that I was off doing. By the grace of God, I wasn't doing those things. But I knew that I was at a crossroads in my life. And in all of its simplicity, I decided, you know, when it comes right down to it, I believe God. I believe that the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. They may feel burdensome at times, but I'm going to believe Him that they're not burdensome. And if I choose those things, I think that I'm never going to be sorry. My best friend from that football team is an alcoholic today. I still love him. I used to plead with him in any way that I knew how to try to get him interested in any way in the living God. Come to youth group with me. Read the Bible with me. Just talk about it with me. Just consistently rejected the truth of God. As a 35-year-old, the choices that people make when they're 14, those choices seem so obviously clear to set you on a path that has consequences or blessings. But at the time, boy, it was hard to figure that out. All of this is to say that the counsel that the Lord consistently, patiently, faithfully gave me as I was considering whether or not puny little me would obey the voice of the living God, His gentleness, His tact, His timing in my life, all of that counsel, all of that loving, meticulous, gentle work that a loving Heavenly Father did in my life to preserve me from the world and the destruction of the world, all of that was just the right counsel at just the right time. The Lord Jesus speaks a word in season to him who is weary. He knows when to be quiet, and he knows when to speak. And every time he speaks, he's 100% right about what he says. Isn't that marvelous? It's a display of the faithfulness of God, his counsel. This one, when I was studying this topic, this next one kind of surprised me. Psalm 119:75, it says, "In faithfulness you have afflicted me." You don't always think of those two things as going together. In faithfulness you have afflicted me. The things that the Lord allows in our life. I love Psalm 84. Boy, I would so encourage you to go back and read that over and over again. "As the pilgrim goes through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring." So now you've got a tear, a valley of weeping. And then the pilgrim chooses to trust the living God because his eyes are set on the Lord. "They make it a spring." Rather than just a tear, a source of sorrow, now you have life-giving water. And then it says, an outside force comes in and covers it with pools, which in Hebrew is translated blessings. He just swamps it with blessings. As we go through those difficulties in life, it can be so tempting to question the faithfulness of God. And again, I'll repeat it. Were we to be God in control of all things, we would not have chosen to bring ourselves to the same place that the Lord in his infinite wisdom has chosen to bring us. "In faithfulness, you have afflicted me." How often can we look back on those same exact circumstances and say, "Praise the Lord for the lessons that were learned"? There's a gentleman in India today that was out preaching the word of God. He saw them coming. It was just in the side of his vision. He saw them coming. And as they threw the hot tar through the air, he turned like this and he almost got away, and the hot tar covered his right arm. It burned him horrifically. And his right arm is like a club today. No use of the fingers, very little use of the arm. He's got this club for a right arm. And if you were to see him, he would smile and he would tell you, "My rebellious, prodigal son saw what happened to me and came back to the Lord. I traded the use of my right arm for the son of my right hand." And he would smile and he would say, "Praise God. That's a good trade. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me." This week, I've had the privilege of getting to know you just a little bit. I've had the privilege of you opening up just enough to know the sorrows of why you would cry yourself to sleep at night. And I'm only talking about just a handful of you. Those of you that are brokenhearted before God for real reasons, please be comforted by this. The eternal, infinite faithfulness of the living God. I will never walk away from you. I will never stop strongly supporting you. I will always counsel you in the right way. Unquestionable faithfulness. Not one example in all the Word of God of failure, of a reason why we should question his commitment, his faithfulness. Hebrews 13:5, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." That's the next one. It's how he shows us. I guess really it's kind of a description of his faithfulness too. But as we live that promise out in our life, he so faithfully shows us his faithfulness. "I will not leave you nor forsake you." I love the times when the Lord does big amazing things. I love that. I love to be on the front lines. I love to see it. I love to rejoice in it. And then I love the open door that I've been given to go all around every opportunity that the Lord gives and brag about the amazing God that exists in the heavens. I love that. I also love the tiny little ways that the Lord reminds us of His love and care and faithfulness. I love that too. Just the little hints where He reminds you, I'm still with you. The first time I had the privilege of going to Ireland a good number of years ago, I wanted to bring home a soccer jersey or a rugby jersey for my son. And so I mentioned that to the young missionary that I was spending quite a bit of time with. And at one point he said, he pulled over. He didn't even tell me what he was doing, but he pulled over, jumped out of the car. I followed him. And then I noticed within a few seconds, he's headed towards a sporting goods store. So we walk into this sporting goods store, and I'm not trying to exaggerate at all. It was almost as long as this wall, and it was three jerseys deep. Every kind of soccer jersey that I could imagine. And there were knockoff Irish rugby jerseys that were less expensive. And then there were authentic Irish rugby jerseys. I looked at that wall and thought, wow, look at that. And I wanted to take home one of those jerseys for my son. I walk over to the wall. I'm looking at all the different colors and everything. You know, I don't know that much about international soccer. I don't know that much about soccer, period. I prefer real sports. No, sorry, just kidding. But I'm looking at this wall of jerseys, and I'm thinking, boy, I want to take one of these home to my son. And so I walk over eventually, and I kind of look at the colors that I like and that I think Danny might like, and I pull out a price tag. If I remember right, it was 95 euros. At the time, a euro was $1.25 American. So you do the math. 120 bucks, right? In that range somewhere. And I just sat there looking at that jersey thinking, I really love my son. And then I sat and I thought, there's no way I'm going to buy one of those. And so I didn't stop. I didn't say, okay, let's just gather around here and have a prayer meeting. I didn't do anything. But on the way out of that store, I said, I'm not going to buy one. And I said to the Lord silently, I said, Lord, if you want me to take home a soccer jersey or a rugby jersey for my son, would you just provide one? A couple days later, we were just doing the work that the Lord had given us to do. Somebody said, is that a secondhand clothing store? And they said, yeah. And so we walked in, and I went up to the counter, and this woman was working there. I said, do you have a youth section? And she said something that sounded Irish, and she pointed. And I followed the point, and I went over to that section. I parted the clothing, and behind my right hand, there was a green shirt. And so I picked it up off the rack. It was an authentic, brand new, with the tags on it, Irish rugby jersey, size 10, is the perfect size for my son at the time. And it cost me $2.50 to take that home. Now, I mean this with 100% sincerity. I am thankful that the God who currently, presently, second by second, upholds the entire universe by the word of His power. I'm thankful that that infinite, great, awesome God watches me and cares about whether or not I bring home a green, Irish, authentic rugby jersey for my son. He cares about that. And He provided it for $2.50 so that my son could know that when I was across the ocean, I was thinking about you. I love you. I brought this as a gift because I thought you would like it. That's our God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the God of huge miracles, and He's the God of subtle reminders. I'm still here with you. I will never walk away. You have my love, my commitment, my promise. You can count on me. Boy, it's a good God. An infinitely good God. In Deuteronomy, it says He keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? In 1 Peter 4, he shows his faithfulness by the upholding of saints. God is faithful. 1 Samuel chapter 7, the whole context of the Ebenezer. You've got this little phrase, word for word. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. I'd like to send us home with that phrase. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Can you say amen to that? I'm not sorry that you said it out loud, but honestly before the Lord, is your heart in a place before the living God where you can say honestly at peace before the Lord, thus far the Lord has helped us. He has not let me down. I don't pretend to understand everything you might honestly say before God, but He has always been there. He always will be there. He has suffered more than I ever will suffer. And I can trust in Him. I can depend on Him. If I can't depend on or trust anybody else, some of you might be in that circumstance, sadly enough. Or maybe you just feel that way, even if it isn't a reality. If I can't trust in anybody else, I can trust in this living God. Driving from Texas to, it's a camp outside of Houston, Texas called Sandy Creek Bible Camp. We finished a week. We had to drive for almost 24 straight hours to get to the next camp where we were to counsel. So we took off Saturday morning as soon as we could check out the kids and do our duties as counselors, all that. We loaded everything up, said our goodbyes, hit the road. We traveled up through Texas all throughout the day. We made it through Oklahoma. It was the middle of the night. Southern Kansas we made it to. And we kept passing gas stations that were closed. They were empty. And this is back in the days of the dinosaurs when you couldn't just stick your card in. You know, somebody had to be physically present in order for you to pump gas. And so we're going by gas stations. I don't honestly remember if we prayed or not. I don't remember. We might have. But the gas gauge is just getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And we're just continuing on. Had to keep moving if we were going to make it to the next camp. Well, eventually, ba-bum, 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 we ran out of gas. We pull over on the side of the road. And there we sit. Now, my friend, it was my best friend, actually, the one that my son is named after. He and I looked at each other and I said, well, there was only one light. I don't know if you've ever been to southern Kansas, but there's only two people that live there and they live a long ways apart from each other. And there was one light on the hill and I couldn't see what it was. But I said, I'm going to walk up there and see if that's a house. He said, OK. So I got out of the car. And as I was walking up the hill, I said to the Lord, Lord, send us a trucker. Now, why did I say that? I don't even know for sure. In my mind, I was thinking, well, he would know the area. He would have a CB. He could help us. So I'm walking up this hill, which was probably a half mile to three quarters of a mile long. And I get up there far enough and I realize this is just a barn with a light on it. There's no house anywhere in sight. So I turn around and I start walking my way down the hill. He saw me turn around. I didn't know this till later in the trip. But he saw me turn around and to the Lord, he says, Lord, would you please send us a police officer? Now, what on earth is the Lord going to do? How's he going to get himself out of this one? He's got two children asking for two totally different things, right? Well, I'm coming back down this hill, and up over the hill behind me comes a truck. Lights all over it. Kung, 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 kung. A big truck. It comes up over the hill. I turn around, and I say to myself, praise God. And this truck pulls up beside as I'm running down the hill. It pulls up and he stops beside our car. I arrive at the car. My friend gets out of his side of the car and he stands up. This gentleman rolls down his window. He leans out of his massive truck and he says, word for word, "I'm a police officer. Can I help you?" The Lord sent us a police officer in a truck in the middle of the night in southern Kansas. He answered both of our prayers. This gentleman, he took us, two college kids. He took us to a gas station that he knew was open. He borrowed a gas can based on his own testimony and relationship. He paid for the gas himself. He drove us back. He just radioed in and said, "I'm going to be a little late." He drove us back. He filled up the car and he sent us on our way. When we got on our way, my friend, he elbowed me. He said, "You know, I prayed for a police officer." And I looked back at him and said, "I prayed for a trucker." And we just rejoiced in the Lord together. I am so thankful that I have a living, eternal relationship with a God like that. Praise the Lord. If you are holding out and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are passing on the greatest thing that this life or the next life has to offer. You are completely missing what is good. If you are holding out and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He is the source of every good and perfect gift. So one more time from the pulpit, we will plead with you. This would be a wonderful time for you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This would be a wonderful time for that. Every one of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray earnestly that you will drive home from this place rejoicing, not trying to rejoice, just rejoicing in the goodness of this God. Whatever He has shown you this week, let's go home and do it. For the glory of Jesus Christ, for the blessing of those people that we love in those assemblies, for the blessing of your own family. When it is a difficulty to continue on doing the things that He has shown you this week, I pray that the Spirit of God will bring back to you the reminders of the faithfulness of our God. Now, I'm not going to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 4 says it is required. I like that word. It is required amongst stewards that one must be found faithful. That's quite a challenge. Praise the Lord for the faithfulness of God. By the grace of God, may we be those that love the Lord Jesus Christ and hence obey His commandments and at His coming are found faithful servants. Can you imagine that little phrase? Well done. Good job. You know, I had the privilege of talking to the staff last night, and we turned to Revelation 3 and we looked at that little verse. One little verse in Revelation 3. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." Can you imagine that? Those of you that are found faithful, those of you that overcome, you did a good job. You come sit here with me on my throne. Boy. Father, we thank You for a good week. Here we are at the very end of it. And we're just rejoicing in what an amazing God we have. We're rejoicing, Father, that we are thoroughly enjoying it. And yet, I shouldn't say it. We are thoroughly enjoying You. We're enjoying our life, Father, but the real reality is that we're enjoying You. And we joyfully confess that we're only scratching the surface of the riches of the character of God. Father, we have learned things. We've been blessed. We've experienced a living relationship with the living God. And yet what we are looking forward to is infinitely more than what we've gained so far. There will be no end to the joy of God. There'll be no end to the learning of an infinitely lovable, worthy God. Father, we just give You thanks. Here we are this day, Father, people that love You, perhaps some people that are shaking their fist at You. You know where we are before you, Father. I commit to you, my dear brothers and sisters in this room that you dearly love. I pray, Father, that you would go before them as they go home, that you would continue by your Spirit to call back the Word of God to their minds at just the right time. Father, I pray that you would be faithful. And we pray it with joy because you cannot not be faithful. You're an infinitely good God. We just depend on you, and we enjoy doing it. Father, thank you for this week. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we'd like to take this last opportunity just to say that we love you. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.